Welcome to Making Connections, a WMMT series on diversifying our future.
The report you are about to hear is from After Coal, Welsh and Appalachian Mining Communities, which is an ongoing project of the Center for Appalachian Studies at Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina. After Coal looks at the comparison of the Welsh and Appalachian experience around making a transition as coal jobs decline. Melanie Harsha reports on a wind farm being developed in former coal communities.
Hundreds of mines once operated in South Wales, but today there are very few. There are many programs that have been developed to create jobs, restore the land, and provide new forms of energy. The Penny Cymmwyth Wind Energy Project is an industrial-scale wind farm currently under construction above the former mining valleys of South Wales. In 2013, the After Coal team interviewed Stephen Holdroyd, a former coal board employee who is now managing the wind energy project. Holdroyd works for Vattenfall, which is the company overseeing the project.
Yes, Vattenfall is a Swedish state utility company. Its shareholder is the Swedish government. Here in the UK, Vattenfall is concentrating on both onshore and offshore wind energy development.
Holdroyd took the After Coal team to the site of the wind turbines, which was being cleared of trees.
It's a large site. It's all on Welsh government land, Welsh government owned land. It's 1,500 hectares in area, but it's 20 kilometres by 9 kilometres, so it's quite a large, it's a very large site. It's it will be the largest wind farm in England and Wales when it's constructed. Although the site is large, the actual footprint of the turbines is only 67 hectares, so we're having very small impact on the overall area of forestry.
The site is 1,500 hectares, which is approximately 3,706 acres. The site is publicly owned land by the Forestry Division and therefore had to go through a strict application process. This process started in 2007 and the wind farm will not be operational until 2016. Holdroyd explains more.
So from the beginning of 2008, the initial design work was undertaken. Many iterations of design were planned. We initially started out with well over 100 turbines in our initial design. But as you go through the engagement process with the local communities and the local planning officers and the statutory consultees for ecological management, etc., that number of turbines was gradually reduced over a period of three years to the number that we've got today, 76. So we received planning permission in May of last year, and we are starting, let's say, construction works on site in February 2014. The construction process will take 3 years. We have a grid connection date of the 1st of August 2016, so we will not be able to export electricity to the national grid until that date. But the construction process will obviously start beforehand so that we're ready to hit the ground running, so to speak, once we have a connection to the grid. The power is going to be connected into the UK's national grid at 400 kilovolts, so it's a quite high voltage connection, and the power will be used wherever it's needed within the UK. Effectively, it will be used locally, but it is actually going into the national grid.
A massive development such as this is bound to have an impact on the local residents, and that comes with concerns from that community. Rahel Jones is a local resident who is the head of community relations for the project.
I mean, the concern generally it all comes down to is the visual impact. And, you know, some people don't like looking at them, some people do. But if you don't like looking at them and you find out you're going to be looking at them from your community, you want to minimise that as much as possible. So I would say number one, it's visual impact normally. And I would say so on this project. Having said that, I mean, we were quite lucky in a way with the design because of the nature of the land. So you've got quite a steep ridge up to the wind farm, and if you think in terms of line of sight, just moving the turbines back a little bit, you can actually minimise quite a lot the impact on communities. So we were able to do a lot of things like that. Having said that, I mean, if you went around the communities now, we're not pretending that everyone's there going, oh, we really want this wind farm. You know, it's a long-term project, and it's our job really to show people over the long term, oh, actually, I wasn't sure about this to start with, but now, 5, 10, 15 years down the line, this project I can see has brought us these opportunities. And, you know, it's a long game, really, rather than trying to convince people that to accept projects like this overnight.
Lee Acteson is a member of the community and also a manager of the Glencorrig Ponds and Mountain Bike Center. Though he is hesitant of the wind farm, he is trying to embrace it as much as possible.
We have offered them to provide it if they'd like to use our facilities as an interpretation center, because we feel they're in an ideal position with the number of tourists, and especially the bikers who will be up riding around the forests. You know, once the project is complete, they're going to start in about 2014. What they are going to do as part of their planning conditions is provide another mountain bike route for us, because we've got one route which is 46 kilometres, but that's going to have to close while they build the wind farm. So to compensate us for the inconvenience, they're building us a new 20 kilometre route, which will hopefully still encourage people to come here riding whilst that's being done.
Though Acteson is trying to work with the wind farm, he also worries about the impact it will have on tourism.
There's about 5 miles of forest on top of the mountain that they would cover, and they'd be in a horseshoe shape all the way around Glencorrig. So no matter where you are in Glencorrig, you'd be able to see the turbines. But as part of the project, the wind farm development, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, they put in £1.7 million into the communities that would be affected by the wind farm, which we can utilise to spend and regenerate in the area. What impact it will have on tourism, whether it'll bring in a new arm of people who just want to come and see wind turbines, or it'll put mountain bikers off, we don't know. That's something we've got to look up to.
Not everyone is as open to the wind farm as Lee is. Scott Jones is extremely hesitant about the wind farm. Jones represents the former mining villages of Crocero and Comare in the Neath Port Talbot Borough Council.
The local people, majority of the local people, were against them. We've come to a point where we realise that we're in a position in terms of climate change, you know, and we do expect to play an important part in that. But in terms of wind farms, we don't honestly believe they are the viable way forward. But unfortunately, if we're going to have them, then we need to have some benefit to come with them, you know. So if we're going to be the worst community that's going to be impacted by these wind farms, then we need compensation, as I would say, for putting up with them. Because as I said in one of my planning meetings, when I raised concerns a few years ago about the wind farms, it'll end up, it'll be like Teletubby land.
Scott's main concern is if the development will actually help the community.
When it comes to wind farms, we spoke earlier on about unemployment and in terms of jobs. Once wind farms are constructed, wherever they're constructed, there is no jobs. In difference in terms of wood chip plants like we've got down in Port Talbot, there are job creation there after that, and the focus is to keep local people in employment. So wind farms, even though it's maybe in some people's eyes it's a way forward in terms of climate change, it doesn't help the position in terms of unemployment or sickness. It might help the environment, but it doesn't help the local people and their problems.
Though this project has some residents concerned, its goal is to improve the community and offer new opportunities. Rahel Jones explains.
To make this project a success, they wanted to see us focus on job creation and creating opportunities for local companies was one of them. The other big part of the project for the communities then is the community fund. So we've committed to a community fund that's worth about 1.8 million every year for the area. It's there guaranteed for the lifetime of the project. And obviously, having 1.8 million every year and knowing it's coming every year for 25 years, it is a pretty big deal and doesn't come along every day.
A major goal of the Penicamuth Wind Energy Project is to ensure that the future will also benefit. Jones explains how this will impact future generations.
It's a 25-year project. The people who are going to be in 25 years are the young people. The people that the fund can really benefit and the project actually can really benefit are those younger generations. So it's been really important for us to get them involved. At the moment, we're doing projects with local schools in the Avon Valley where they're getting involved with the mountain biking, new mountain bike trail. We're working with the teachers there to see right where the curriculum overlaps in terms of what they actually need to learn about, to give them hands-on experience of life in the energy sector, how wind energy works, and so forth. We're also doing some film and sort of participatory projects with the young people as well, encouraging them to think about their area and what they need for the future. They're actually about to, the Avon and Ron, the young people, are about to swap valleys to go and see what life is like in the other valley, what can they learn each other, what's different, and hopefully to help them think as well about their needs for the future. I think work with young people will definitely be a big focus over the next 4 years.
Although wind energy is lower carbon and safer for workers than coal, it can still negatively impact communities. The Welsh Assembly has attempted to reduce these impacts through a participatory planning process and community fund. But rural coal communities still face challenges as they work to create a sustainable future. Construction is now officially underway at the Penicamuth Wind Farm site and is expected to last until the year 2016. Visit www.vattenfall.co.uk for more information on this wind energy project. And for updates and more information on After Coal, visit the website www.aftercoal.com. This is Melanie Harsha reporting for WMMT.
Making Connections is brought to you by WMMT, Mountain Community Radio. Find out more at makingconnectionsnews.org.